Welcome to We Are Libertarians, a weekly podcast with your hosts Chris Spangle, Creighton Harrington, and myself, Chris Galt. We are a podcast that focuses on libertarian issues from the perspective of a young person. We're going to experiment a little bit today, and we're going to try and do a Google Hangout with some of our listeners.
We're not trying. We're actually doing it right
now.
And if you go to WeAreLibertarians.com, that'll take you to the Facebook page, which we've already linked to the Google Hangout there at the Facebook page. Unfortunately, the camera, I'm going to have to get a new camera for next week, so we can't see us. Which is good because the air conditioning has broken the office here, and it's 82 degrees.
Hot. It's getting hotter.
And all three of us are sweating like Roseanne Barr at a chicken eating contest.
So we're live right now?
Yes, we are live.
Hi, everybody.
So you can go onto the chat room. You can listen to us live. We're going to do this every week.
We are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Unless you don't want to.
No, that's fine. I'm down with that.
Yeah, we didn't check with Creighton. We just did it because we're men of action.
Hey, if it starts working, we'll do it. If nobody ever listens,
I'm warning everyone who's listening right now, we are horribly produced. So the live version is probably going to be a little bit worse than usual because we can't edit out all the mistakes.
And, yeah, you're going to have to censor yourself a little more, Creighton.
Yeah.
I'm actually the one that probably cusses the most.
Right.
Often,
yeah, I mean,
at least.
Yeah.
I dropped a few last time because I was so upset.
Then there was the time Mike Cole was on the show and we had to. It was like beep, beep.
Oh, anyway.
That was funny. That was fun.
Good.
All right. So, what happened this week, guys?
It was July 4th.
Yes.
Yesterday. Did you know? Fun fact, and I posted this all over my Facebook page. Yesterday was not the true birth of the United States.
Yes.
July 2nd was.
We know this.
Okay. Fun fact to all you people out there.
We went to Malcolm Badnarik's Constitution class.
He did totally disagreed with me.
Yeah, he says it's
of course
August
he did.
2nd.
No, he says
Michael Badnarik disagreeing with someone.
No, he said he asked the question, when was the real date that America was blah blah blah, and I said July 2nd. He said that's an unusual answer. And he said, but that's not the right answer. And I was like, it's totally the right answer. It was when the Lee resolution passed. But
okay,
he went off on his thing. And I think he had a different point, but I was right.
He had a different point.
Right.
It was
when the Declaration of Independence was adopted.
Yeah, but
which was in August.
Yeah, but America was technically independent when the Lee resolution passed on the 2nd.
I feel like yelling at you guys. Like, just be quiet. It's too.
Hey,
what are you talking about?
A little bit of history for our listeners. I mean,
well,
that's my bag.
It's been a week, and I still think the hot topic is Obamacare.
Yep.
The hot topic is this room.
So I do want to talk about it a little more, if that's okay with you guys.
Sure.
I've dove down into some local, some individual, how it'll affect individuals, I guess. I've got some stuff for younger people,
okay.
How it'll affect younger people like us. Maybe not you, Spangle.
I'm only 28. I'm not old.
I'm just kidding.
You're pretty old.
Shut up.
Some of these things people may already know or think they know, and some things they may never have heard before.
Hey,
so
the only true history is the history you thought you knew.
What?
Or no, what's that? It's a Truman quote. It's like, the only new history is the history you thought you knew or something like that. Basically saying that. Well,
all I know is I know nothing.
Well, I'm going to look that quote up.
Anyway.
It's a good quote.
So I did some research. One of the first things is young people will be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26.
That already
right.
happened, though.
But it's still part of Obamacare.
Yeah.
Right.
If your parents don't have insurance, this is the kicker.
Thank you for the pregnant pause for the tease.
If your parents don't have insurance when you turn 18, you'll be forced to provide your own or pay the tax, the penalty.
So even if, okay, so if you're 18.
So if you're 18 and your parents don't have insurance, you're still fined in your taxes or taxed in your taxes.
Right.
The government takes money from
you. I say it's a fine because it's a tax for doing not doing something.
Yeah.
It's a fine.
It's a tax. It's a fine. It's a theft.
Anyway.
It's a steal.
If you have insurance now through your employer, I'm talking younger people here, prices, what are they saying?
Nothing.
You're just smiling.
There's nothing going on at all.
Okay.
It's my former boss at the radio station.
Okay.
And he's mocking me, saying that this is exactly like when I was an intern. And he's right.
So anyway,
I had that quote for
younger
you,
people will probably, the cost will probably go up 19 to 30%, which is a huge jump, especially for us.
Right.
The reason is because of something that Obamacare enforces called community standards. Have you guys heard of this?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But explain it for our listeners.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
for our listeners.
The rule is that insurance companies can no longer charge elderly people. They can't charge them more than three times what they charge their youngest people.
That defeats the point of insurance.
Right. So even though elderly people have six times more health care costs than younger
people.
Yeah.
I mean, before you continue, let me go on my little thing about explaining what insurance is, like real insurance. First of all, anyone who believes that modern insurance in the healthcare industry is actually insurance is totally wrong. It's a subsidy. Insurance is not supposed to pay for every little thing you do.
Right.
The way insurance works is you pay a company who basically you're gambling almost. I mean, it's not gambling. Yeah. I don't want to say gambling, but it's kind of similar. What you're doing is you're paying them into a pool and betting that, and they're betting you won't get hurt or get in a car wreck if it's car insurance or any of the whatever insurance you have. They're betting it won't happen. And if it does happen, then to one person, then all the money in that pool is what's is some of that money is used to.
Right.
So that's how it works. Then they separate pools by kind of like standard. So like if car insurance, essentially anyone who's a male under 25 is in the same pool.
Right.
Anyone who's a female under 25 or whatever the date is, it's the same pool. So they kind of organize people based upon what they qualify their risk being. So in health insurance, it's pretty obvious. You would put elderly people in a pool of other elderly people because their risk of having something bad happen to them is much higher than that of a younger person. And saying that you can't charge them a certain arbitrary set rate because it would be unjust is one confusing the fact that if you have it be a subsidy, then yes, it would be, you know, really bad because they go to the doctor more. But if you don't have it be a subsidy and it doesn't pay for every little thing, then not being able to charge, that's just going to cripple the insurance company because they're going to have to pay so much out of this pool to these older people and not have enough money to put back into the pool because the rates can't go up enough. So, continue.
Right. So, the net effect of this is that insurance costs are going to go up for younger people because they're going to have to pay for the elderly's higher costs.
Right.
The estimate I saw online was 19 to 30% higher.
19 to 30%
for
more?
Younger people, yes.
Okay.
Than they pay now.
It's already almost. Have you guys quoted out insurance or do you guys get insurance through your parents?
I'm pretty sure I go through my
parents. I'm with my parents. Right
well,
now.
If you don't
I'm
know, you probably get it through your parents.
Yeah, I think it was Anthem.
Like, if you didn't go to the doctor the last time and they didn't hand you a $120 bill, you're on your parents' insurance.
Yeah.
And you guys are, well, Creighton's in relatively good shape.
And so, hey,
and
he's not.
If you go,
Crane's not
to the. If you go to get private insurance, your cost is going to be anywhere from $120 to $200 a month for a basic policy, which is a $5,000 deductible, high risk policy. That doesn't include doctor's visits. That doesn't include prescriptions. It's very, very expensive. And for a 20-year-old or an 18-year-old to get that level of insurance, that's a tremendous cost.
Yep.
And then you increase that by 30%, that's like $492 a month.
I kind of just want to go.
I'm not good
just,
at math.
Right.
I kind of just want to say.
Just assume it's
we
a lot
need.
More.
I think we all need to do like some sort of civil disobedience with this.
Well,
just be like, screw. I'm not going to pay the insurance, and I'm not going to pay your tax. And you can come
right. The
and
argument that Obama is using when he says it'll help everyone in general is that most people will be on their parents' insurance till they're 26.
Right.
So they won't have to pay that 30% increase because they'll be on a family plan.
Right.
But for those people that aren't, or their family, or their parents are gone, or they don't live with them anymore, or they don't have insurance with them, those costs are significantly going to go up if you're one of those people.
Can I just say that does anyone else feel like this is kind of just like a ruse? It's like I feel like from the beginning they wanted single payer all around. They weren't going to get it, not enough support. So they said, let's do a public option, single payer that And I felt like that was a ruse. I felt like the idea was, if you have this public option, everyone's going to use the free health care, quote, quote, free. And all the private insurance companies are going to lose substantial amounts of business, and they'll just go out of business. And the only thing left will be the public option, and it's single payer de facto. I think the same kind of thing's happening here. The way they've got it set up is going to so ridiculously reduce the ability of insurance companies to actually exist that they're going to be forced out of business. And then to fix, you know, there's going to be such a big crazy, oh no, all these people are going uninsured because of businesses are going out of business.
Exactly.
And then they're going to, then they'll have support for a single payer. I feel like that's what's going on.
Right.
And I mean, it really irks me. It's like, because what's, if they don't go out of business, I mean, you're just talking about ridiculously high rates.
Yep.
Ridiculous,
that was my next point.
Ridiculously low quality.
Many younger people have minimum wage jobs, and those are going to be the first ones to go. I mean, if I were you and you worked in a minimum wage job, I would be a little worried.
I think we should.
Because employers are going to be paying higher costs for health care.
No.
They have to provide health care now.
They're just not going to provide health care. They're going to say, sorry, you're out of luck. And that's part of the problem
here.
But
then they get penalized.
The business gets penalized. But $695 is going to be less than what the insurance companies are going to start charging.
The cost of getting penalized is far less than the cost of paying for insurance.
But not more than they pay now. It's still up from what they pay now, which is nothing.
Right.
The penalty is still more than now.
Yeah. I think what
so their costs are still going up.
Healthcare costs are outrageous. It's,
right.
It's
and
cost
if they don't
prohibitive
offer healthcare, then they don't have to pay for any of it. And now, if they don't offer healthcare, they have to pay a fine. Right?
Yes.
I don't think they pay a fine currently.
Right, but
they will have to.
Exactly.
And you're saying that's only $700?
No, I didn't say that.
It's $695 right now, at least.
No, that's...
It goes up, but...
No.
Yes.
Not for businesses.
Oh.
We are
libertarians.
We're talking businesses. Bringing you all the information you need to know.
I think the point he's trying...
I have all that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think the point he's trying to make is that, and this is the point that I think a lot of people are making, is that the businesses, because of the economics of the healthcare industry and what it will cost to provide insurance, the businesses will have a better, it'll be more cost effective for them to just not provide insurance,
right.
Tell their workers you're on your own, and just pay that fine,
right.
Because it's going to end up being less than what insurance is going to end up costing.
All I'm saying, though, is that fine is going to raise prices.
It absolutely will.
And cut employment.
It's going to reduce productivity.
The first people that go when they cut employment is the minimum wage worker.
Well, to an extent. I mean, I wouldn't say that is that
right.
The trend.
My dad owns a small business. My dad owns a small business that includes himself, me part-time, my brother, and his friend full-time. And then occasionally a few seasonal helpers, depending on how busy it gets.
I think you have to have 50 employees.
So there's 3.5. Okay, but even at 50,
maybe
you start
20.
Getting to a point where if my dad had to provide health insurance for 4 people, the cost would be thousands, tens of thousands of dollars a year.
Yep.
And you talk about 50, multiply that.
You can't do that.
There's no way. So you're going to pay the penalty. And so it is, in a sense, another tax. So it is going to eat into labor, because we've talked about corporate taxes before. Where do they raise the revenue for corporate taxes? They raise it from either taking it from the share price, which they're not going to rob shareholders. They take it from they add to the price of their goods, which they're not going to do, because that means they're not competitive, or they cut wages, and which means they cut jobs, which means they pay their employees less. And it's why, since when my dad graduated high school in 1970, mid-70s, I don't know when, 75, I think, the average salary was $33,000, and look at the cost of a car. It was around $5,000. Look at the cost of a house. It was around $60,000. Well, when I graduated high school 10 years ago, the average wage was $29,000, $4,000 less, but the cost of a car had gone up to $25,000 and a house had gone up to $150,000.
Right.
So you've got mass inflation and you've got less wages.
I know. That's
and this is only going to make it worse.
And the things I'm talking about are only what's seen. You can't see inflation.
Right.
Yeah, you can.
Well,
you can if you compare it to past costs, like we just did. But
you can only, I don't think you can do it for the future. You can only do it from a past perspective. You can't look at the future and say, this is what inflation's going to.
Well, no, you can't. You can assume there will be inflation based upon what's happening in current times. But yeah, you can't. I mean, no one knows exactly.
Obamacare The cost of Obamacare now is estimated at $1.7 trillion, which is over twice as much as they said when they passed it. That cost, we all know how they're going to pay for it, besides just taxes and penalties. That's not going to raise – that'll raise about half of it, probably about $100 or $500 billion. But they're going to pay with the rest by printing money.
Well, they'll borrow, and they'll borrow from the Fed.
But that creates more deficit, which creates more inflation. It's just – that's I'm only talking seeing things here. Like, it's even going to get worse. We'll see the inflation mostly at the gas pump. That's where we'll see those prices go up because of Obamacare.
No, the gas pump?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because a lot of gas prices, I mean, yes, their inflation hits them pretty hard too, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if gas price will be the first. You never know what the first thing is going to go up. Inflation is going. It never enters into the system, you know, evenly, as Mr. Hume.
I feel like gas prices are usually a good judge most of the time.
I think movie tickets.
Oh, movies.
I think those are
that
way.
Is a good one.
I think those are really good at saying how bad price inflation gets. Is because they're the first ones. It seems that
it's
go
over
up.
$10 now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I remember it was $7.
I remember.
Like. 2 or 3 years ago.
Now it's seven. It's more than that for matinee now.
Yeah. And I think movie tickets. I always look at movie tickets as the best judge of inflation.
That's a good one.
But
all of you young people that want to look good and tan.
Do the opposite of what Chris Galt does.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Tanning prices are going to keep going up. The 10% tax on all tanning tanning businesses.
Isn't it called colloquially, if I could say that word,
colloquial?
The Jersey Shore tax?
Yes, because Snooki made a comment about how she thinks Obama hates the Jersey Shore.
Well, that tax has already gone into effect, so it'll continue at 10%, and it goes up with inflation.
I think the ultimate argument here is that the idea was that because when people would get sick or they'd do blah, catastrophic, and then they wouldn't have insurance, they'd go to the emergency room, and then they wouldn't be able to pay, so the taxpayers have to hit.
Right.
That doesn't mean you have to do this to the system. I mean, there are, you know, so many different ways that you could have those costs be taken care of. I mean, I always thought it'd be cool if you just let the patient who had this catastrophic thing, no insurance, they'd go in, they'd say, well, you have to pay for this. I mean, but that doesn't mean you have to pay for it in one lump sum. I mean, there are so many. I mean, payment plans between doctor and patient, I think, would be an obvious choice to go to first, rather than say, let's have the federal government come in, and because they're so good at producing things, let's have them take over the healthcare industry.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's a ruse. I feel like the whole reason that they wanted to get this passed is, one, so that Obama can say that he accomplished something, and two, because ultimately it will cripple the system and the only thing left will be government.
That's exactly what it's going to do. I mean, employers are going to start dumping people right onto the Medicaid and Medicare rolls onto the public system. The public system will then not be able to cover all the costs. And this happened in Canada. And when this happened in Canada, cost got so out of control because everybody liked the free health care.
Right.
Because when something's free, you take more of it, so you go to the doctor more often. And so cost got so out of control to the Canadian government that they capped their GDP at, I think, 10% for health care, and that started the rationing. And this is what Sarah Palin was talking about when she was talking about death panels. She kind of stepped in it because she said it insensitively and inarticulately.
Right.
And this is what happens in Canada. Seattle is a city of 3 million people. Canada is a country of 33 million people. And as we've referenced before, 98% of them live on the American border.
And the Canadian conspiracies, man.
Canada has less MRI machines than Seattle does.
Right.
And it's because they couldn't afford more MRI machines. Canada, our neighbor to the north, if you live in Buffalo and you're a doctor, we should try and get a Buffalo doctor on sometime so he can tell us the truth about Canadians, about how they always come across the border and get their health care in America.
98% of them do.
98% come across the border, and they will very soon. You watch. That's exactly what's going to start happening is you're going to start seeing rationing. You're going to start seeing, you know, as the system gets, as more people get dumped onto the system, then legislators in Congress will start capping the cost, because Medicare and Medicaid are already out of control.
Right.
And then you'll start to see rationing eventually. This is going to collapse our insurance system into something. So,
well, one thing I know people want to know is, how much is the penalty if you don't get the insurance?
Jacob Isaacs, by the way, Jacob is in the Google chat, the Google chat room. So we're doing Google Hangouts every week. So if you want to join us, please do. Check out the wearelibertarians.com. Jacob writes,
undercutting Facebook one podcast at a time.
Right. It would be an interesting change of pace considering how we hear about senior citizens going to Canada for prescription drugs. They do have better prescription drug laws, and it's because they're doping Americans to make us all docile for when they invade the country. That's exactly what it is. You heard it here first.
Oh, man.
I just can't.
When did Adam Jones get here?
You cracked me up.
Alex Jones?
Alex Jones, yeah. Whatever.
Adam Jones.
That shows how much I listen to the guys.
That's Pac-Man Jones. Adam Pac-Man Jones, who spent $1 million in a weekend. Did you guys hear that?
No.
Was that the Vegas trip thing?
He spoke to a group of incoming rookies, and Pac-Man Jones, who was a former cornerback for the Titans, said he spent $1 million in 3 days. And I don't know what he spent it on, but I sure would like to try.
I'd like to spend $1 million
to spend
period.
In 3 days.
I'd like to have $1 million to spend, period.
We'd actually have a camera that worked.
Yeah, we would.
We'd probably be an actual studio.
All right, so.
Yeah, we'd buy it. We'd pay some.
Penalty costs.
This, right?
Penalty costs. Let's read off the penalty costs. If you make less than $9,500 a year, you are exempt.
Say that again?
If you make less than $9,500 a year.
Oh, okay.
You are exempt from any penalties and
so
taxes.
You qualify.
You qualify for zero penalties. All right. So if you are in the next bracket, $37,000 or less to $9,500, it's $695, which is what Creighton was referencing. If you make $50,000 or less, it's $1,000. If you have $75,000 or less, $1,600. $100,000 or less, $2,250. That's probably most of the young people. We'll go
right.
One more. It goes anyway. It goes
just,
all the way up to $200,000.
Just for my cousin who bought all the gold.
It goes up to $200,000, and that's $4,700. That's the maximum penalty. If you make more than that, then you're in a whole new bracket, and that looked super complicated to me, so I didn't figure it out.
And if
but
you
there
make
are all
over.
These extra taxes for anyone that makes over $200,000.
Right.
And
but I'm sure those people can afford health insurance. It's
right,
$695
right.
bucks. You know, I'm finally getting to a place in my life where I am not constantly broke. I have money for at least 7 days out of the month, and then the rest of the time I'm broke. I used to be broke all 30 to 31 days of the month. You know, and $700 is a heck of a lot of money. That is a lot of money.
It is.
And if I were, you know, I still probably, that's a steep penalty.
And you have to pay that on your tax on April
on,
tax
on your taxes,
day.
Yeah. You know, and so hopefully you have
so that's
a good
a
account.
One, that's one day, one paycheck.
Right.
You essentially have to, if you're making that little amount of money, you essentially have to save your right. money throughout the year.
Just
in order, yeah, in order just to
right,
pay for the penalty
tax.
For
and
healthcare.
If you have a job where you are an independent contractor where you pay small business taxes, then you are hosed.
Well, Ben Bernanke must hate this. It's going to cause people to save money.
I know. Let's be honest. Everybody under the age of 30, they probably don't save money.
Yeah, no,
like if
they
you
don't.
Have a savings account of $1,000 and you're under 30, you're doing well.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't know. I think what we should do is not buy the insurance and not pay the fine.
All right, Creighton.
I think we should. Civil disobedience. I think it's time.
He's in this big revolt mode for like the last 2 weeks.
I don't blame
he's
him.
He's like, we've lost. It's over. It's over. Let's rise up.
Actually, in September, there's going to be there's a lot of religious organizations that are upset about this as well because they're going to have a sit-in at the White House in September because they're obviously upset that there are provisions in the healthcare bill that will force religious employers to provide things like birth control. So if you're a Catholic church or Jehovah's Witness or other organizations, and most Christian organizations, you know, they wouldn't want to provide birth control to single people. Whether you think that's right or wrong, that's their belief. And it's an issue of the First Amendment. Should the government force the Catholic Church to provide birth control to single or married people? They don't believe in the use of birth control at all. They believe that that's stopping God's will. So they're going to have a sit-in in September to protest that in the restricted area of the White House. There's several Catholic organizations that are organizing this, so they're all going to basically get arrested at the White House in the restricted area to bring awareness to this provision in the bill. And the way that the media actually is spinning it is that they're, oh, look how backwards these people are. You know, oh, how could the Catholic Church not want birth control? You know, I tend to believe that the First Amendment is a good thing, and that if an employer doesn't, you know, the word voluntary is so important, and it speaks to this. If you go to work for the Catholic Church, you voluntarily choose to go work for the Catholic Church, and when you voluntarily choose to go work for that organization, you understand that they're not going to provide birth control to you.
Right.
Because it's their choice. And you, if you're working for the Catholic Church, you probably are in agreement. And so it is, you know, there are people who are just activists, usually more liberal activists, who are protesting this kind of thing. And I saw that.
What?
I'm trying to pad while he gets back from wherever he's going. And so you voluntarily work for this organization. You choose to take its insurance and buy its insurance. Then you buy into it. It's voluntary. It's not like the government forcing
you to
do something, you know? So, and, you know, I would appreciate a little more respect out of you.
I was just cleaning my glasses.
Yeah.
I had a smudge.
I like that. I like that you made a face at Creighton that I was being too long-winded.
It's not. Anyway.
Huh?
So much for Obama's pledge on never raising taxes on the middle class.
Right.
The so largest much for his tax pledge on in history.
A bunch of crap he said he wasn't going to do.
I know. I mean, the oceans are still rising.
But
it's 100 degrees.
Gitmo's open.
Right.
I do want to tell you guys.
Drones are flying over D.C.
I did find some good news. Because of Obamacare. I found some good news.
There is no good news.
There
We're
is some
doomed.
Good news. Obamacare will create jobs. 16,000 IRS agents will be hired over the next 2 years.
Creighton,
so,
we'll let you take
if you've
one.
Ever wanted to work for the IRS, they will be hiring plentiful.
Those are great jobs.
I'm sure it pays well.
I mean, not much is better than walking up to people's
house and taking their money.
Yeah,
it's
walk up with the proverbial
theft.
Bat.
It's licensed theft.
Give us your money or we'll burn your house down.
Anyway.
Why are those not good jobs, Creighton? Explain that.
Why are they not good jobs?
Right.
Because the government can't produce. So they only consume wealth. It's all going to be paid for by taxes, so they come out of somebody else's pocket. They would have spent money in another area to increase employment there. So these IRS agents are essentially just basically parasitic. So their jobs only come at the expense of other jobs, whereas real private sector jobs are created with production. They're new jobs. So you don't have to have – I mean, you would. You can, but
– I didn't really think it was good news, by the way.
I know.
It's just a website told me.
You're
good
just
news.
Not, you're just not
Obamacare
good.
Obamacare will create jobs.
You're just,
it said that.
You're just not good at being sarcastic is the problem.
Sorry.
no, yes, IRS, any job that's paid for by taxes, and for the sake of argument, we will exclude firemen, police, and any of those services out of my point and say that if a government job at, let's say, the IRS or the Department of Commerce or something, those jobs get paid for by taxpayer dollars. Taxpayers lose that money to spend on ways that they wanted to spend and increase production in areas that consumers actually demand things. They're only parasitic. The government can't produce. They can only consume. So it's not it. I mean, and the thing is, if you're going to look to me because of the jobs argument, I mean, this is kind of a digression, but I think it's kind of important. The end goal of an economy is not jobs. If we wanted to create jobs, creating full employment and jobs is pretty easy. The government could tomorrow pass a law that says we're going to send everyone out into the middle of the Arizona desert, give them you know, their bare hands. We're going to pay them, you know, $100 an hour to dig a trench and then fill it up at the end of the night. And they can do that every day.
Right.
Full employment. You'll have full employment. Everybody will be working and they'll be getting a paycheck. But I think the absurdity of it is pretty apparent. I mean, it's not going to help anybody. Jobs are only the means to an end. The end is production, an increase of material wealth.
Look at some of the monumental structures that have been created with government jobs. The Hoover Dam, for example. Look, how would Southwest United States be powered if it wasn't for the Hoover Dam?
Somebody else would have built
the Hoover
power
Dam
plant.
Was necessary.
Why do you hate children, Creighton?
Yeah, right.
Such an evil, heartless bastard.
It paid all those people.
Yeah, and it came in at the expense of
and
other
people's
money.
And now it makes tourist money even. I mean...
Yeah, but that's my point, is that that money would have been spent anyway, and it would have increased production anyway. So all that's happened now is you took essentially wealth from somebody, organized it in a way that they did not demand, and then you're making money off of it that you would have made off of another project or various other projects anyway that consumers actually wanted. I'm not saying that – I mean, I won't go into the argument that the government doesn't have an obligation to do certain services, but – if we're just going to say, just for the sake
so
of making
you're on
the
it,
fence. No, we'll just no.
Oh,
I'm,
Creighton loves big government. Finally, yeah, yeah. 15 episodes in, yeah.
I got him
to
admit
it.
I finally.
No,
Hoover
I'm not.
Dam
I'm
was
not,
the subject.
I'm not admitting it. I'm not admitting it. I'm just taking this stance
what,
for the sake
next,
of an
Creighton,
argument.
Creighton Hart's the Tennessee Valley Authority nerd.
So anyway,
but either way. The idea of work is not merely to work. I mean, if you want to work because you like being productive, then you're really just talking about a consumption good. You know, you can go out and work and build stuff because you like building things and you get a paycheck for it. That's all well and good, too.
So are you saying that my dad's company, where they restore marble floors, where they refinish flooring, they do construction cleanup, that that is not as valuable as a job as a miner who is producing...
No, that's not at all what I said.
Mineral ore?
It's not even...
No, I'm not accusing you. I'm asking for clarification.
No.
So...
The idea of work is you... Is
because my dad has a service-based job as opposed to more of a, you know,
product.
A
no,
product.
Yeah.
No, it has a product. It's refinished floors. That's okay. The product. The demand is for the floor.
Right.
The job is a means to get that end. The job is a means. It is not the end goal. Work is not valued in and of itself unless it's like play. Like you just like doing things with your hands because that's what you like doing.
That's what Galt's doing all summer.
Dude.
Hey!
Go ahead,
Creighton.
No, but seriously, that jobs are the means to the end. Production is the end. If you increase, you can increase jobs and increase production if you force jobs into areas through government coercion that they aren't necessary,
but
that people don't want them.
Right.
I don't know a percentage, but it's high. I'll just say a majority.
I don't have any facts, but let me tell you what the truth is.
Of people get paid by the hour.
So?
That's putting a value on their time. Not their work.
No,
time
it absolutely is not putting a value on their time. It's putting a value on their – because you're assuming that they work during that time. The reason that wage jobs are the way they are, where they're paid by hour, is because it is an effective means to get a set wage throughout an industry. Whereas things like sales get paid by commission – It's just their various means. It's all you're getting paid to do a job, not to just go there and say, I'm at this place for this amount of time. Pay me. You're actually doing stuff. They're under the assumption that when you're working
but
by
if you
hour,
do
they're
more
paying you
one day than you do a next. You don't get paid.
And
more
you
ta-
and
you
do
more work.
Yes, but you take that into account when you go to work for a job, saying we pay by the hour. If you don't want your if you want a hard day's work to get paid more than an average day's work, you would go into a different field.
Okay.
Or start your own business. But you're,
there aren't very many jobs out there that don't pay by the hour now.
Well, that's
I mean, do you think that is a flaw?
No, I think
you think that's fine.
It's fine because a lot of these jobs you can't the like if I work at a hotel, I work as a front desk clerk. My production would be getting people checked in, smiling and make them feel like they're the greatest person on the planet, even though they should all rot in the lowest abyss. But
wow,
I'm sorry.
You're really angry lately.
hotels are just full of terrible people. But that my my production is not necessary.
Jeez,
it is. It's a terrible place, but the production is not necessarily like a new, you know, iron ore smelted, or it's not a specific good. It's a service, and they're saying that with this additional service, we'll pay you this much an hour.
Right.
Because that's what we value the product of your service at. And I accept by saying, okay, I'll work for you at this paycheck, this wage, blah, blah, blah. It's voluntary. But my point is that jobs are not the end. They're the means. And it's not a means that just you can put there and production will result. Production, supply and demand, create the jobs. They are the reason the job. If there's a demand for a widget, and there is a person willing to save their money, provide capital, invest, and provide money to workers to build the widget, it was the demand and the supply and demand for the widget that created the jobs.
Right.
If you just throw jobs in some random area by government edict, you create some good. You're not creating more a higher standard of living for an economy. You're just basically squandering resources to an extent and reducing the standard of living.
Right.
All right. So Creighton's done with that rant. No, you're right, though.
You know what? Silence is bad on the radio. It's bad.
Weenie in the butt.
So what did you guys do yesterday?
If you have a radio show and you don't say anything, gonna have a bad time.
What did you guys do yesterday? See fireworks? Anything?
I went to my in-laws' house.
Okay.
Spent the day with the in-laws. I didn't fire off any fireworks.
I watched J. Edgar.
Oh.
Have you seen J. Edgar?
Let's talk about the fireworks ban, because where do you guys stand on the fireworks ban? That's something that I think, you know, as a libertarian, I'm not really getting all that upset about, because it's temporary. And it's beneficial to your neighbors, you know, if you light off fireworks. And where I live in Greenwood, the grass is brown. I mean, it is dead.
Grass is dead everywhere.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you're up on the northern side of Indianapolis, terrible. And you've at least had some rain. We haven't had any rain. So when they put the fireworks ban into place in my town, I'm not going to fire off fireworks anyway, so it doesn't really bother me. But you know, the people who like the
people's rights,
the people who like the Husker Du's and the Husker Don'ts and the whistling kitties and all that kind of, I mean, they don't,
the hooping and hollering cats,
the black cats, the M80s, the Roman candles. So,
well, the fireworks ban, the way I look at it,
do you guys think it's a problem?
No, the way I look at it is this: if you light off fireworks, even if there's no ban, and you end up burning somebody's yard up or burning their house down, you are obligated to pay that person, or you're going to be.
I mean,
that's property
damage.
The ban
doesn't do anything.
Yeah, the ban is just basically ban basically says if you do that, then you burn somebody's house down. You have to replace their house, and we're going to charge you a fine.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's not. I mean, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
If the idea is to stop, make sure that people don't burn stuff down, then I don't know. I think it's stupid.
That's why I don't like how people look at it. In the government, it's just like anything that's bad or wrong has to be banned or put a law against it.
Yeah, if we just made oil spills illegal, then oil spills would stop
happening.
Why couldn't
they just say, citizens, we haven't had rain if you haven't noticed, so let's be careful with our fireworks. Or, you know, maybe you shouldn't light off your own fireworks this year. Maybe you should just go watch some, you know, that professionals have put on, and they're not going to burn something down. I mean, you can do things much more effectively with action awareness than
you can. Yeah, and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't work anyway.
Because everyone on my street still lit up fireworks.
Yeah.
I mean,
everyone does it still.
I mean,
they were illegal in Indiana for how long?
If they would have done an action awareness campaign or something, they might have still done it, but they would have been more careful.
They
would have saw, you know, like, wow, okay.
The problem with that solution, though, an awareness campaign, is that takes a lot of time and money to put into place and inspire people and educate people.
It costs a lot of money to enforce a dumb law.
Yeah, but it's sort of a deterrent. Now, when the news says you can't fire off fireworks,
does making drugs illegal deter drug use?
70% of the people who would.
So then the war on drugs is okay because drugs are bad and you don't do them.
We're talking about a temporary fireworks ban that over the span
principle.
Of 7 days.
Same principle.
But this isn't. This, it's
same
not the
principle.
Same thing. It's
same
not
same
even.
Principle.
It isn't.
It's the same
isn't.
Principle.
You guys
it's,
are 100% wrong.
No, it's banning an action
for 4 days.
It doesn't matter.
Really?
It's still principally
for 4 days.
Banning.
It doesn't matter how long.
You're comparing that to the drug
all right,
war.
Then Obama could say, for the next 3 days, you have no rights.
You're
you have
banning,
no freedom of speech.
What the hell
you have
are
no
you,
religious
what are you
rights.
Talking about?
It's you're the same saying principle. That it's just you're saying the only thing that separates it from the drug
the
war
limit.
Is the time when, in principle, they're still banning an action they say is wrong.
Talk about the ends and the means. You're talking about something that is.
We're not talking very, about production. We're talking
I'm
about.
I'm sorry,
like,
but heroin's a little more dangerous
now.
Than fireworks.
I'm about to produce murders. That's what
honestly,
I'm about to
honestly, heroin's more dangerous than fireworks.
What? It depends on what kind of fireworks. Are you standing next to the 15-second fireworks?
I really don't think it depends on what kind of fireworks.
So you have a right to go. It's a brown lawn. It's dying. It's dead. Now, let me finish my point, you vultures, you little jackals.
He has a point.
So my point was is there is an immediate need, a public safety need. Of not firing off fireworks because
the
most,
argument of public safety from
most
the executive
people,
director of the Libertarian Party.
I'm playing
this
devil's advocate. I'm playing devil's advocate.
No,
let
you're
me
not.
Finish my point.
No, you're not.
He's so serious.
Oh my god. Why do I do this?
Finish
podcast?
Your point. Finish your point.
So, all right. So it's extremely dry. It's very dry, and most people who use fireworks don't just shoot them up in the air. How many fireworks fights have you had with the bottle rockets pointing at each other's
when
face?
When I was a kid, maybe a few.
Right.
I haven't in a long time.
So there's an immediate public safety concern. So the local governments, it's not the federal government, it's not the
it's
state
still
government,
government.
It's the local government saying, listen, please be responsible. Don't play with fireworks. It's very dry. We don't have time to sit here and like that's your argument is well
no,
the government needs to the government needs to teach you good
Spangle,
behavior through
Spangle, your argument's that it's okay if the local government does it. You can still have tyranny at every level of government. It
yeah,
doesn't
but at
have
a local
government,
government. You can, so you guys really have that big of a problem with a fireworks
no,
ban?
I mean, we're talking
that's
about the
not
principle.
What,
I'm talking about the principle.
Yeah,
of it. You're saying that somebody lights off a firework, there's a higher chance that they could burn something down. Therefore, we have
yeah.
to go. There, therefore, we have
something
to go.
Something called fireworks might burn something
and
down.
And you know what? If
yes.
I,
you're right.
If I do bath salts,
but,
I could eat your
but,
face.
What you're saying is because there's a higher probability of it burning something down than there was beforehand, therefore, we must go and steal money from you.
You're not stealing money from anyone.
You
are.
If they shoot up fireworks and they don't hurt anything and you still
yeah.
find them, that's theft.
But no one's getting fined.
That is
reality.
Exactly what's going to happen.
That's what the law says.
If you line them off, you get fined like $2,500.
Jacob Isaacs, you're
even
listening.
If you don't hurt
please
anyone.
Help me.
If you don't hurt anyone.
In principle, it's the exact same as banning drugs or any other good. It's the same thing in principle. Just because it doesn't last as long doesn't change the fact that in principle, it's the exact same.
It's the same ballpark, but the drug war is home base, and we're talking about the upper levels.
No. You're
what?
Talking about banning
it's
an
still
activity
in the park.
Because one group of people think that it's wrong and that there's a higher problem in that doing this activity could cause harm and it's better for the people if we just ban them and therefore we're going to say you can't do it and if you do, they may not take you to jail but they're going
to
fine you $2,500.
To compare, I'm just stunned
and I mean,
that you would compare
honestly,
the drug
for 4 days,
war to a local fireworks
for 4
ban.
Days, okay. So the next 4 days, nobody can. When's it end? Tomorrow?
Yeah, but the fact is,
so
is that
if it still doesn't rain next week, it's not going to be just as dangerous.
You're not allowed to shoot off fireworks the week
until it rains.
Until after, like you're.
So then it's based on the holiday, and it's not even based on danger.
Hold on, in Indianapolis, you are allowed to shoot off fireworks the week leading up to July 4th and the week after July 4th.
Right. So it has
every,
nothing to do
every
with
other
the dangers.
Period of time,
it has nothing to do with the dangers of the weather and the drugs.
I have a greater issue with the larger ban saying that you can't shoot off fireworks. You can only shoot off fireworks 2 weeks out of the year. The other 50 weeks, you can't do it because it's long term. Okay? I have more of a problem with that than I do a local government.
It's the same thing.
It isn't the same thing.
It affects you the same way.
Why did you not eat your Wheaties this morning? It is not the same thing.
It is.
Oh, my God.
You said it was based on safety. Yeah, if it still doesn't rain, no, are they going to extend the ban?
The ban for the other 50 weeks of the year was based on annoyance, is that people were annoyed.
We're talking about the local ban here.
Other ninnies couldn't stand having... Hold on. Let me finish my sentence. This is like turning into The View here. Yeah, the hens clucking over each other. So basically, these old ladies called Counselor Ed Coleman, who said, "Oh, well, I'm so tired of these fireworks being shut off in the middle of October. It shouldn't have this. They have children. I've got to put down for the night." And
another
my dogs
one of your
are
libertarians.
Scared. Yeah, which, trust me, this is when he was a Republican, and when he's gotten so much crap from us because of this. It basically, they banned fireworks the other 50 weeks of the year because it annoyed people. That's wrong. It could be bothersome, but the fact is like, get over it. If someone shoots off fireworks for 5 minutes on an evening, big deal. But you're talking about a ban where you have extremely dry conditions in a local area, and the local government says, don't shoot off fireworks. How many tickets do you think are actually being written for shooting off fireworks?
Will we still have dry conditions next week?
I have no idea.
Rain,
what do I look like, Jesus?
If it doesn't rain, will we still have dry conditions?
No, you
next
do not
week?
Look like Jesus.
I do not look like Jesus. So how could I know the weather
if
next week?
If it doesn't
week?
Rain, there's a, will we still have dry conditions
just watch
next
the
week?
Channel.
Yeah, we will.
And will fireworks be banned?
They're banned already next week. That's my point, is next week they're already banned because of Indianapolis's ordinance.
No, this is the dealio. You're making an arbitrary distinction between what is an arbitrary judgment. You're saying that.
So you're
no,
saying.
No, listen, no, listen. Let me finish my point.
No.
You're making an arbitrary judgment of this is okay to ban and this isn't. So drugs are not good to ban for whatever reason
no,
you can
drugs-
assume. But fireworks are okay to ban because we think that it's too dry. Where's the line drawn?
So
where is
you
it?
Think
is
that,
it when grass is only 30% brown?
A local government trees in my neighborhood are turning yellow and brown
not,
because of the lack of water.
You're
saying that
the point.
Local
the
government
principle is still the same.
Hold on.
You're sounding like a liberal.
The local government. No, let me ask you this question in all seriousness, because drugs. That's a straw man argument trying to drag me down and make me look like an idiot, but I'm not.
I'm not
so
trying.
Let me
to
ask
like
you
an
this
idiot.
Point: does the local government have a right to regulate public safety? Do you not think that shooting off fireworks is a public
right
safety
to?
Issue
have,
when
do,
it's this dry?
Do regulate public safety? Well, I would say
do things in the benefit of the local community for everyone's safety.
No, I would say a government on any level does not have that authority. Their goal, a legitimate
so
government.
So you're an anarchist and
no.
You don't believe in
no.
In speeding
public, there's
tickets.
A, no, that, but what you're saying is anything. Driving could infringe public safety if you're going to take that argument. Because people can wreck their cars into buildings and kill people.
Sure.
That is a, so we shouldn't let driving happen, or we should pay people, we should fine them if they drive. I mean, there are so many things people can do that can harm public safety. You can't just say, well, it's public safety, therefore it's okay. You haven't even, you're saying that they deserve to get money taken from them even if they don't burn anything down. You're a conceit. You're saying that before any actual burning happens, well, they deserve to have money taken from them, regardless of whether or not they actually cause any damage. That's the problem. You're banning an action that has harmed
you're
nobody.
You're talking about the end, and very few tickets are probably written in Greenwood for this offense. Why they do it, and I think it's overused right now, and we just really needed another topic to argue about. But really what happened is this is sort of a silly thing that local governments are doing, and it's because of the Colorado wildfires, so they're all having a knee-jerk reaction. There is an elevated level of danger if you're using fireworks in these dry conditions. But if you light off a bottle rocket and it comes down in your yard, your grass is probably not going to light on fire. Okay, so let's make that clear. There is an element of the media and local governments trying to look like they're doing something. They're trying to be proactive. But the fact is that
God bless them.
I know. I just think it's silly to equate this with the drug war and all that.
No,
because you
it's
know,
I'm
not an anarchist, and I believe that the local government should be – I think the township government should be the ultimate seat of power, something that is incredibly small and local and easily controlled. You know, I think even government at the county level is getting too big.
That's where we differ,
okay?
Spangle.
But I'm not –
I think all the power should be in the individual.
Yeah, but the fact is that you're talking about a society that is great to discuss in college, but you're not talking about an actual workable society.
No, you're doing straw man arguments. No,
there has to be some level of government in society.
I'm sorry.
You're equating saying that we didn't say no federal government.
Yeah, now you're equating not having a fireworks burn ban with saying we need to have anarchy. That's what you're doing.
You're ridiculous. Making the argument that local government can't do anything for public safety.
That is not at all what I said. I said that saying that fireworks are part of banning fireworks.
Let me
is
see
part
your
of the
driver's
public
license,
safety,
Michael Badnarik. Let me see it.
Wait a minute. Are you going to sit here and tell me that fireworks in dry conditions fall under the purview of public safety?
Yes.
Where is that line drawn? There has been no damage to any person's life or property, nor imminent threat. How do you draw that line?
I don't know.
It's a feeling. It's like, and that makes you a liberal.
It's like porno. I know when I see it.
Oh, man.
Listen, I just think that the reason they're doing this is they're not doing it to try and raise money. They're not doing it to try and punish people after the fact. What they're doing is they're trying to stop people from a behavior. So in that respect,
exactly what the drug war is.
In that respect, you're 100% right. But the fact is that does the government never have a right to stop behavior?
That's not the argument I'm making.
When it endangers other people's lives?
But that's just it. This fireworks ban is not an imminent threat. If there's an imminent threat to putting a gun to a person's head and saying, give me your money or I'll shoot you, that's pretty obviously a threat. Shooting off fireworks when it's a little bit drier or a lot drier, doesn't matter, outside than it has been in previous years, is not an imminent threat to life or property. Yes, you can have accidents, but you can have accidents in any other manner of life. The world is not a safe place to be. But saying that because one group says that it's too dry, we're going to say it's too dry.
The fireworks people said it's too dry.
It doesn't matter.
They're not even going to fight
the
ban.
It doesn't matter. It's one group saying that it's too dry. Therefore, if you commit an action where you do not actually harm anybody, nor do you have an imminent intention to harm, or is there a ridiculously high amount of threat that you're going to harm another person's life or property, because that, therefore, if you commit this action because we say that we have arbitrarily said it's too dry, you have to give us money. And
it's,
if you burn something down, you have to pay
them back. Arbitrarily. I mean,
it is arbitrarily. It's not based upon anything other than a feeling.
Listen.
The local government is saying it's too dry because we say so.
This kid over here lives in Mars Hill. Chris Galt lives in Mars Hill. And if there weren't a fireworks ban, you're telling me that your life is not in danger? Because nothing. Rednecks love fireworks.
They did it anyway.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I
mean, they banned fireworks in Indiana.
And my house is still standing.
How many years were fireworks banned in Indiana until Mitch Daniels, and then they legalized fireworks in Indiana. Every year, I mean, some of the best times of my childhood were blowing up stuff with fireworks, and it was totally illegal. It doesn't stop it. It's not even. I mean, if you're going to say that that's a deterrent, then making drugs illegal is a deterrent.
No, because that's...
It is.
It's the same principle.
No,
it
isn't, because if you're doing drugs, you are only harming yourself directly. If you're shooting off fireworks and you light the grass on fire,
but you
are you not harming
but
an
you
entire
haven't.
Community?
But you're saying you're assuming
if
it's
going to
happen.
Person, if you're the person flicking your cigarette butt out your window in these dry conditions, are you not doing something wrong? I mean, you're flicking your cigarette butt and you're littering, at which is probably how the Colorado wildfires got started. Some a-hole who smokes didn't use his ashtray in his car.
Objection.
It out the window.
Speculation.
But
too much SVU.
No.
Too much
SVU. But the thing is that you can make a property argument on that hand. You could say you can't.
And that's the argument that I'm making.
No, but you're
putting
not.
Other people's
you're not
property
at all.
In danger.
No, you're saying that the action itself, without causing harm, is going to be what is wrong. If I light off a firework and it lands in someone's yard and their house burns down, it's my responsibility and I am guilty for harming their property, and therefore I have to repay them. But the action,
law
if I
not.
Just shoot off a firework and cause no damage, that action is still going to be considered a crime, and we're going to fine you money
and you
for
have,
that harmless action.
You have enough money to repay if you went to Mars Hill
that
and
is,
you
that is not
if
the
you
point.
Went to Mars Hill
you're making a red herring
and you lit off a Husker Du and you burned down all of Mars Hill, are you going to come up with the $150,000 to replace all those trailer parks?
You're making a red herring.
I don't live in a trailer park.
Mars Hill's not trailers, they're actually homes.
Oh, okay.
Valley Brook are trailers.
Right. Yeah. The Mars Hill, they're homes. They're modular homes.
I have whatever, Spangle. My house is.
Hey, Mars Hill was a good place in the '50s.
Yeah, and then everybody moved out.
My grandpa owned like half of it,
and Chris Galt moved in. Oh, you're the king. You're like the Ned Stark of Mars Hill, aren't you?
Who's Ned Stark?
Oh, this guy still hasn't seen Game of Thrones. You're not caught up, are you?
I haven't. No,
you need smacked when we're done with this.
All right.
So
I feel like this show's just
going to
morph into a Game of Thrones fan podcast.
I want to wrap up with our idiot of the week.
All right,
because I've got
a,
that point.
Got a pretty good one. So
let's end the conversation though.
Okay.
Do you guys really that passionate? Because I look at it and I go, I agree with you guys fundamentally, but at the same time I look at it and I'm like, I don't have the energy to fight a tyrannical government over a 4-day ban when it's something that's like the 50-week ban.
That was
or
our argument.
No, but I'm saying, do you guys really have a problem with the fireworks ban at this deep of a level?
On the philosophical level, yes, I do. By the fact that it's going to be temporary and I'm not going to... I mean, no, I'm practically...
No,
there's
why,
no,
why would I fight
practicality
something
is not the argument
day.
Here. It's...
Right.
You're,
it's, there's better
I was making an argument based upon the logical energy. Foundations of the premise of all that, and you were saying that I was wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not. I was
you're an
not
idiot.
Wrong.
You're an idiot.
I was making a... That argument was completely sound. And you were saying that because, and then you were making a red herring.
Well, I mean, do you have enough money to burn down house? No.
Right.
Therefore, you're wrong
Are
on
you
the principal
come up
level.
With the $300,000
but that is irrelevant. That is irrelevant. That is irrelevant to the principle. The matter of it being wrong on principle. It's irrelevant.
So where do libertarian principles and practicality stop? And that is the problem that a lot of libertarians, when they start to govern, people like Rand Paul are dealing with this. Where do my principles and practicality stop? Because we have this monstrous government.
Well,
where's the line? Where
I would
draw?
Argue that libertarian principles are practical.
Okay,
you don't have to change your principles because they are practical.
Yeah, and by practicality,
we have
big
government
fighting.
Right now that it's not practical to, you know, I don't even have a good example. So
Pez.
I mean,
outlaw Pez.
Yeah, it's not practical to outlaw Pez. I don't know how that's going to help my argument.
Yeah.
I just like to talk about Pez.
And I do want to make it clear. I agree with you guys. I just look at it and I go, you know what? It's really like on my level of outrage, it's like a 0.5 compared to like Obamacare, which is bursting at a 15 on a scale
I'm
of
not,
10.
I was never arguing that it would be practical for us to spend time and money to stop a ban that's already in effect that's going to be over in like a week.
Right.
But if we're going to say, is it wrong on a principle level, yes. That's what I was saying. And you were trying to say I was wrong, which made me believe that you disagreed with my argument. Therefore, you thought it was okay on a principle level and comparing it to the fact that it's so much less than the drug war, therefore it's different.
I'm not saying I'm making a principled argument at all. I'm saying that there is a place for public safety at the local level.
Is there a place for need? Is there a place for government to help people in need? From each according to his ability, to each according to his need? Because if you make these vague public safety arguments, eventually the logical conclusion is you have no definition, no limits, no boundaries.
No, it's like
for
the,
what
it's
public
like
safety
using,
means.
Using children, and public safety has been used to like drones are used in the name of public safety, and that's clearly wrong. So I guess
why is it wrong?
I guess everybody has an arbitrary line. I mean, there are
no.
People
that's
who will,
what I'm saying is there are points where there aren't arbitrary lines. If you have a person with a gun to your head saying, "Give me your money or I will kill you," that's not an arbitrary line. There's no arbitrary line drill. But if you're going to say that lighting fireworks off could possibly, maybe, burn somebody's grass, therefore it's going to be wrong. That's an arbitrary line
underlying the word fire. And the fireworks. I mean, I just...
this guy.
All right, let's move on.
God.
All right, so the Washington Post read an article from them that recently reported that victims... somebody shared it. Anyway, reported that victims of the Mexican drug cartel violence is increasing, and it now includes many children that are being specifically targeted in order to terrorize people and intimidate their business. You know, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
Now,
right.
I have no idea. Yes.
All right, I'll read the quote. The children's right group estimates that 994 children younger than 18 were killed in drug-related violence between late 2000 and late 2010, based on media accounts, which are incomplete because newspapers are often too intimidated to report drug-related crimes. Government figures include all homicides of people younger than 17, capturing victims of whose murders might not have been related to drugs or organized crime. In 2009, the last year for the data, 1,180 children were killed, half in shootings. All right? This leads me to my idiot of the week. Michelle Leonhardt. You know who that is, right?
Nope.
All right. Leonhard. I've seen video. No.
Leinart? Like Matt Leinart's sister?
I actually don't know how to say her last name. Michelle Leinart? Leinart? Okay, Leinart.
Leinhardt? It was a good movie.
Anyway, I've seen some videos of her on YouTube, and she has to be dumb. She has to be. She's a constant idiot.
I don't know where the arbitrary line may be, but I'm assuming she's an idiot.
She just has to be
no,
stupid.
This is not arbitrary. She is stupid.
I've honestly watched her say some really dumb things, but this just blew my mind. She tried to spin that article. She was asked what she thought about the children dying and everything, and she said, and I quote, "It may seem contradictory, but the unfortunate level of violence is a sign of success in the fight against drugs."
One more time.
"It may seem contradictory, but the unfortunate level of violence is a sign of success in the fight against drugs." And by the way, her title is head of the DEA. So
that's
thousands
on the
of children's
that's on
I
the
shouldn't
onion.
Be laughing, but thousands of children dying every year is a sign of success.
That's the
of the
onion.
War on drugs.
That has to be the onion.
No, it was a serious article, and she said it, and I listened to it. I'm just saying, if that is a sign of success, then maybe we should be reconsidering this.
That
war.
Doesn't even deserve a response.
I mean, seriously, George Orwell,
so
war
is
peace.
Is that a good idea for you guys?
Fireworks is public safety.
I've seen her say really dumb things, but that one blew my mind.
She tried
to spin children's deaths to be a positive for the DEA.
Taxation is charity. Hundreds and thousands of children dying in a drug war
is
a successful drug war.
War is peace. Slavery is freedom.
I already said that. But yes, I don't really know of any other better summation of George Orwell's principle there. Hundreds of thousands of kids dying in a drug war. We're winning.
All right. It's actually not.
Well, we started weak. We got a little less weak in the middle, and now we're going to end weak.
It's only Thursday.
I know. I feel like it's less hot in here, but I think we just got used to it.
It's not as hot.
Did you ever think about what it was like in like the Civil War days when you had no air conditioning?
I think AC it was probably put the standard of living for mankind higher than, you know, mass production of food, because I would rather go hungry for like a week in an air conditioned house than I would be well fed in miserably hot conditions.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, AC is one of the greatest inventions of mankind ever.
All I know is if I lived in the Game of Thrones world, if I lived in Westeros, I would live in Winterfell. Because I would rather be cold and go inside the warm castle walls.
You know what thermostat, take this, Al Gore. You know what the thermostat at my apartment is kept at? Take a guess.
62.
Probably really low.
Close.
65.
64 degrees. Man. It is nice and cool, and I love it.
I love it too, man. Because you can always put on more blankets.
Yes, that's right. You can never get cold. If you're hot, it's a lot harder to get cool, but it's easy to get
warm.
There
is a bottom limit to how cool you can get, because there's only so much you can remove keeping you warm. But you can always put on more blankets.
Or clothes.
Trying to sleep when it's hot. And you can't even cover up. I mean, that is literally, I think they do that in hell. I think that's one of the,
That's why I love my wife. Is she like, I'll have it at 66 and it'll be perfect. She's like, it's hot in here. Turn it down to 64. I'm like, you're my dream woman. That's the one thing you need when you guys are looking for a wife. You need a woman who will not touch the thermostat. That's why I don't like sharing an office with Evan McMahon, because he has no large intestines, so he's always cold. So he's like, he's got his heater on in his office right now, and it's 80 degrees. I'm like, oh, you got to turn it up. I'm so hot.
Well, thank everybody for listening to We Are Libertarians this week.
We're sorry.
We'll keep it. we'll keep experimenting with the Google Hangout, try and get a camera fixed. You guys can join us every week.
Was
maybe.
This recording too?
No. It's basically, here's what's going to happen. We're going to start doing Google Hangouts, and you can join us in the Google Hangouts every week, and you'll hopefully be able to see video. And our good friend Jacob Isaacs, by the way, thanks for joining us, and our buddy Andrew Lee also joined earlier. And you can chat with us, and eventually we'll get sophisticated enough where we can have a few people in the Hangout, and they can join the conversation.
Yeah.
But that's going to take me getting you guys some headphones.
Yeah.
So,
we'll get to that, but for now they can listen and send us questions on the chat.
Send it on the, on the chat.
Are we no longer a podcast?
Like, nope.
No, we're still a podcast.
So this episode will show up on iTunes.
We're just live broadcasting the recording of our podcast.
Right.
So it's still recording then?
Yeah.
Oh,
we're still
a podcast. I was wondering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what this thing over here is for.
Okay.
So,
I'm just making sure.
Yep. So, all right.
Moving up in the world. Getting a little bigger.
Yep. A little
getting
bit
stronger
bigger.
Every day. Thank
you, one day we'll have our own studio and
one of these days we'll actually be a good show.
Man, I agree. Air conditioning.
We'll have to.
The only better invention than air conditioning is the iPhone.
I just want to
put
my just think about this for a second. If somebody had never stumbled across our episode ever. Let's say they read comments talking about whatever we talked about, political issues.
Right.
They decide to come in and listen to this episode at this moment. The show is called We Are Libertarians, and we're just going to start saying, and they jump in and they hear, AC is the best invention ever.
It couldn't be.
Air conditioning is great. I'd rather be cold.
It's like the day after the 4th of July.
They'd listen to that and say, what is this?
We Are Libertarians. AC is better than food.
How many brownies did they eat? All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles, or screaming memes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
You're going to stand there owning a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker do's, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips and dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
No. Because snakes and sparklers are the only ones I like.
This podcast is produced by What is a Hoosier Productions.